Tonight I'd like to talk for a few moments about a New Year's resolution that I would like to see each of us make. Over the past few months, our elders have been working on a mission statement for the congregation here at Camden Avenue. And it was interesting because it started out with several pages of input of things that we know are important in the life of the church. And it was boiled down to this as a mission statement. You'll find this on the front of your bulletin and other places. We are dedicated to seeking the lost while edifying each other in order that we may all enter the eternal home promised for the faithful. And so in view of that mission, I would like for each of us to resolve that we are going to lead one, maybe more, but at least one soul to Christ this coming year. You know, I've been in congregation a number of times where this same challenge has been given. And I know that even as I speak that there are mixed emotions, there's a variety of attitudes toward what I am suggesting. There are some of us who are just going to pass this off. You'll go home and you'll never really give it much thought. Some will think, well, that certainly is a good idea, but I don't think that I could ever do that. Some might make the resolution, some might make a commitment. I will try to win a soul to Christ this year, but after a time, other things will occupy our interest, or we will forget, or perhaps maybe we will be unsuccessful in trying, and so we become discouraged and quit. But hopefully some will take this challenge seriously and make the commitment and put forth the effort and keep on persisting, and will know the joy of leading someone to Jesus. You know, if you have never experienced that joy, I don't think anyone, once you have experienced that joy, will ever have to persuade you to try again. There's a fine Christian man that I was very close to several years ago, who at one time, in his own evaluation, had been just a nominal Christian. He was faithful in attending. He always lived a good moral life. Even at that, I don't think that he would have considered himself to be very zealous about being a Christian. But he told me that he took the challenge to win someone to Christ. And he made the commitment to do so each year. And when he first told me of this, it had been a period of 5 or 6 years. And he said, there has only been 1 year during that time that I have failed to lead someone to Christ. And it had really changed his life. There are people, even families, that are now a part of the church because of his efforts. Like Paul, he said the greatest joy that he had was in watching them grow and raise their children in the faith, and they in turn lead others to Jesus. Today he himself is an elder in the church, and he's still striving to win one soul to Christ every year. Think of how the church would grow if each one of us would take this challenge seriously. Through the years, we've come up with all kinds of programs, formulas for church growth. We've tried different programs. We have had more tricks and gimmicks than we would like to admit. When all along, the solution has been within the grasp of each of us. This is a biblical formula for church growth, as recorded in the words of Paul in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. Where he told Timothy, "In the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these unto faithful men who will be able to teach others also." There it is. Once one is taught, they then in turn should teach others. Now think about how the church would grow. Think about how the church here at Camden Avenue would grow if we took this challenge seriously. Now let's estimate there are maybe 250 faithful Christian adults that attend Camden Avenue on a regular basis, and that every one of us would put forth this effort to win one to Christ this coming year. Suppose only half of us were successful in doing that, but do you realize what the impact would be? A year from now, instead of having our average 300 on Sunday morning, there would be 425. And we would recognize that the church had grown. But then think about that as those years go on. If we make this commitment every year, and those who were won would in turn seek to win others. Someone has said that you can't You can count the number of seeds in an apple, but you can't count the number of apples in a seed. Just think about if every year each one of us went out and were serious about the need to win others to Christ. Think about how the kingdom would grow. It's interesting, in the book of Acts, when it speaks about the growth of the church, it begins by saying that the saved were added to the church every day. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. But soon it begins to speak of the numbers of the saved being multiplied. We can make goals for the church. We dream, sometimes we even plan for the congregation to grow, but the fact remains that there's only one way the church can grow, and that is one soul at a time. By each of us leading someone else to the Savior, in doing so, we will begin to add and then multiply, and the church will grow. And so it's a good resolution. It's a tremendous challenge. It's a valid idea. But I'm sure that I don't have to tell you that just saying this is not going to make it happen. So I'd like to take a few moments of our time tonight talking about how we can try to make it happen. I want to talk about the soul that I will win for Christ this year. First of all, we have to realize that we are not going to win that soul unless it is really important to us. Winning the lost should be important to every Christian. It certainly is important to God. If it wasn't, then every one of us that is here tonight would have been and would continue to be lost. But God is determined to win souls. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Peter writes in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 that the Lord is not willing, it is not His desire that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so winning the lost is very important to God. Seeking the lost is very important to Jesus. It is the reason that He surrendered His position in heaven and came to earth. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Seeking the lost is important to the church, to those who love and follow Jesus. The Lord's last words to His followers on earth were the very commitment that we are talking about tonight, the Great Commission, recorded in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, and also in Matthew 28, that was read for us this evening. Jesus said, "Go into all the world." Matthew says, "Go into every nation and preach the gospel." Matthew says, "And make disciples of every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Matthew says, "Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." So we know that winning the lost is important to God. We know that it is important to Jesus and to the church, to those who truly love and follow Jesus. But my question tonight is it important to you? Is it important to me? You know, if we don't share in the compassion of God and the love that Jesus has for each lost individual that has been ruined by a life of sin and stands condemned to hell, then it really doesn't matter if it doesn't really matter to us. If we don't really care, then it doesn't really matter how many sermons we hear on the subject of seeking the lost. But sharing the gospel is our function as a Christian. The gospel is said to be a treasure in an earthen vessel. It is God's treasure, but it is born about in an earthen vessel. It is in the heart and in the mind and in the life of every Christian. And whenever someone who is lost comes in contact with us, they're bumping up against one, perhaps the only one that they know, the only one they encounter who can tell them what they can do, what they must do in order to save their soul. And so how many opportunities do we have? How many lost ones has God directed toward us that remain lost because we're not faithful stewards of the gospel of Jesus Christ? James said, "To him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." The first step in winning a soul to Jesus this year is to admit, to confess to God, that we have been guilty of this omission, that we have not loved the lost as we should, that we have not faithfully taken advantage of opportunities to teach the gospel. Maybe there have been those who, even by the things that they have said, have led us to believe that if someone were to sit down and talk with them, they might have a very good opportunity to reach them because they're seeking. If we are going to be a soul winner, it has to be important to us. We're going to have to make it our goal. We need to pray to God for opportunities and wisdom and courage, but then we're going to have to do something about it. We're going to have to try. And so if we are going to win a soul this year, we are going to have the desire to do that. Secondly, if we're going to win someone to Jesus, we're going to have to prepare. I think the reason that many Christians are not successful in winning others is not because they don't care, it's because they don't know how. And even when someone is receptive, even if someone were to ask them, if they were given the opportunity to sit down and study with someone, they don't really know how to go about it. Well, teaching the lost is the work of every Christian. We are to be workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so as a workman, we have to know how to use our tool, which is the sword of the Spirit, or the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, we're told to be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We should be in awe of the knowledge we have of the gospel of Christ. We should have such a desire to share this good news with others. It doesn't make us better, it doesn't make us wiser than anyone, it just makes us one who has been blessed. Someone has led us, someone has taught us, and now we have an opportunity and we have an obligation to teach others. When is someone ready to begin leading others to Christ? I think as soon as one is saved. Now, that doesn't mean that as soon as you become a Christian, you're going to be able to answer every question. The best that you may be able to do is to take an individual to someone else. But every Christian should, at the very least, be prepared to sit down and open the Bible and show someone else what we believed and how we were obedient to the gospel. And from that start, we can grow. There are many different methods of personal teaching that you can learn. And I would encourage you to talk to one of the elders or myself or someone that you know has had experience in sitting down and teaching others. We have different approaches to Bible study that we can share with you, different kinds of open Bible studies that make it possible for you to go through Scripture in an organized fashion that is geared toward leading someone to be obedient to the gospel. And it's very important for us to know that because sometimes if we don't have some direction in which we are going, if there's not a plan for how we are teaching the Word of God, we'll not get to that point. I was working one summer in a congregation. I had a young man, and I have known very few young men who are that devout and that dedicated and loved the Lord that much. And he set up that summer, he set up many Bible studies, but toward the end of the summer, none of them were bearing fruit. And that was simply because his approach to Scripture, although it was good and everything he taught was certainly the truth, it did not have a direction. It was not designed in a way that would lead someone to understanding, being able to rightly divide the Word of God and put it into a form that one would recognize what God has done for us and what we in turn are expected to do in our obedience to Him. And so you may need to receive some training. And the time to get this training is now so that you will be prepared because the opportunity will come. I'm fully persuaded that if you are praying for an opportunity to lead someone to Christ, and I would believe that is the first thing that you need to do, is begin to pray for an opportunity that the Lord will send an opportunity your way. Because I believe that the Lord is also hearing the prayers of those who are seeking. We know that that was the case with Cornelius. His prayers went up as a memorial before God. He was seeking and God heard his prayer, and God arranged for him to have a meeting with the Apostle Peter, who could teach him what he must do to be saved. The same thing was true with the Ethiopian eunuch. He was seeking. And so God arranged for Philip to come to him and teach him what the message of salvation was. And so if you really want to lead someone to Christ, then pray for that opportunity. And I truly believe that that the opportunity will come. If you don't feel that you are yet prepared to do that, then take them to someone who can. That is just as biblical. But be prepared in some way to lead someone to the Savior. Thirdly, if we're going to win someone to Jesus, we have to have someone in mind. Now, to say that I'm going to win somebody is pretty vague. Most of the time, that somebody eventually becomes nobody. If you're going to win somebody, you're going to have to give them a name and a face. When we make the resolution to win somebody, we need to make a list of who that somebody might be. Now, there are some people that we may think of every time we talk about something like this. Maybe this is the year I'm going to try to win my husband, who is not a Christian, or one of my adult children, or a loved one, or a neighbor, or a friend. And yet, I have been concerned about them, and I have talked to them many, many times. And so, I would encourage you at this point to name at least one other person that you will try to win in addition to those that perhaps you have tried to win before. Now, that doesn't mean that you give up on the others. You know, think of the possibilities. Our lives each constitute a circle of friends, acquaintances, loved ones, and relations. I was in a class one time on personal evangelism, and I had people write down the list of people that they thought that maybe they could talk to and would receive an opportunity to have a Bible study with them. Most people struggled with that. They would write down maybe two or three names. And a lot of times those names were the names of the ones that they would have talked about every year because they had tried before. And they just couldn't think of anyone else. And so we started then to accumulate personal lists of people that we interact with in life. Not everyone, but the people that we know well. The people that perhaps we have been involved with in community things or on the job or with our children or other things. Neighbors that we have become close friends with. And pretty soon it was not unusual for a person to have 20 names on their list. And I think people were amazed at how many people that we really have an impact on their lives. Jesus said, "The fields are wide unto harvest. Everyone who is lost is a candidate." And once we write down their names, the commitment becomes personal. And we have to write down their names. And when we write down their names, then we need to put those names in a place where we are going to be reminded of them. And we need to pray for them. And we need to make a personal commitment. This year, I'm going to do what I can do to lead Jim to Jesus, or Harry, or Sue, or whoever it may be. And then every time we have contact with that individual, we are going to remember the commitment that we have made. And remembering that commitment, we are going to look for opportunities to influence them. And we are going to be able to mention them by name in our prayers. And so the soul that we win for Christ this year is going to be one that we have determined in our heart that we are going to try to win. Fourthly, if we're going to win someone to Jesus, we've got to establish and strengthen friendships and relationships. You know, for the most part, people are not too receptive to receiving spiritual instruction from strangers. Are you? How do you feel when someone at random comes and knocks on your door and they want to show you what their religious faith is? You know, in this day and age, I'd go as far as to say that many people are skeptical of people and the churches that they represent. We're probably all familiar with the old expression, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day." Well, I'd be the first to say there's a need for sermons to be both heard and seen. But people are going to be led to Christ by people that they know and trust, by people that they recognize that their faith is real and that Jesus lives in their lives. Before we can share our faith with people, we've got to share our lives. And if you haven't shown any interest in your neighbor before, or the person who works next to you on the job, if you haven't spoken to someone in 3 months, then don't ask them if you can study the Bible with them. People will see through that in a minute. They will regard that as being insincere. We have to build relationships by showing the love and care and compassion that Jesus has shown in our life. And so when we know a neighbor has needs, then we should be there. And just because we have helped someone does not immediately mean that they are then going to stand ready to be taught the gospel. They need to be shown that our life is consistent, our example is good and consistent. If it is, people will begin to think of us as someone who has found something in our lives that they would like to share. And so we need to begin developing relationships. If you don't love someone enough to value them as a person, then you're not going to love them enough to be concerned about their soul. And so we need to take the time to develop and establish and strengthen relationships. Fifthly, if we're going to win someone to Christ, we must be willing to ask. Now, it sounds simple, but for some, it is the most difficult of all. You know, I know people, and there have been times when I have gone to see someone. And I've talked to them about anything and everything under the sun, about families, about jobs, about sports, about world events, and have come away never having mustered up the courage to ask them, "Would you study the Bible with me?" Well, one thing is true, and that is that they cannot read your mind, and if we don't ask, nothing is going to happen. It's also amazing that when you ask, many times people will say yes. It is true that sometimes people will say no, and that's all right. They have that choice. But if we, as we said in the last point, have had and had been the kind of influence that we should be, people are not going to be offended. I don't remember anyone that I felt was offended when I asked if they would be interested in studying the Bible with me. In fact, there are people that wonder why we have never asked them to study the Bible, because they have seen the Bible is an important part of our life, and being a Christian is the very definition of our life. And so some people are surprised that we haven't asked. Some people are surprised that it has taken us so long to ask. There are certainly many ways to go about asking. We can say something like, "Jim, I know that you know that I'm a Christian. I can't begin to tell you how important Jesus has been to me, and how reassuring it is to know that I'm saved, and that I have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Would you be interested in reading the Bible with me so that I can share some of the things that I have learned with you?" What a great thrill it will be when the answer is yes. And every time you put forth the effort to study the Bible with someone, your confidence and ability to do so will grow, and you will find the joy in knowing that you are involved in the most important work on earth. You are a fellow laborer with God. There is no more valuable work on earth than seeking and saving the lost. But finally, if we're going to win someone to Jesus, we're going to have to continue with them. They may not respond the first time we ask them. We need to continue our love and our care and our friendship with them. They may not obey once the gospel has been presented to them, but we can continue to encourage them. We just need to be the consistent example of what a Christian is. Yes, it is perhaps more compelling to see a sermon than it is to hear one. And so you can continue, we can continue to invite them to worship, have them into our homes, bring them in contact with other members of the church. The Bible teaches us to plant the seed, to nurture and water it, but only God can, and He will, give the increase. And so will all of us win someone for Christ this year? Undoubtedly not. Some of us won't try. Some of us will try and give up. Some of us will try and fail. But every one of us who tries will be rewarded, will be blessed. And there will be souls, precious souls, that will be added to Christ this year who otherwise would have been lost. How could you say that such an effort is not successful? How can you say it's not successful if every one of us go out this year and try to win someone and no one succeeds and yet we have shared the gospel? The seed has been planted into the hearts of men and it will remain there. Maybe we are not the ones that will see the harvest. Maybe the harvest will come at another time. But once the word of God has been planted into the heart of a good and honest man, it will dwell there and it will take fruit and it will bring forth fruit to fruition. But I have to believe that in those efforts that there will be those who will be won. And if there are a dozen or a half dozen or one or two, each soul is of more value than all the world. And we will have spent our time this year doing the most important thing that we can do, and that is seeking to win the lost to Christ. And so think about that. Make that your goal. Make that your commitment. Truly, we have been saying that our focus as a congregation is going to be on evangelism, but the elders can't do that for us. I can't do that for us. All of us must be involved in that. You have people you can reach that would not even talk to me. You are in a perfect position to lead someone to Christ. Who is that? You need to identify who that is. You need to pray that God will lead you to one soul today. And He will. Tonight it may be that you are the one who needs to be brought to Christ. The invitation of the Lord is extended for that reason tonight. If this is your need, we encourage you to come while together we stand and while we sing.